Our first Bible reading is a Psalm of Lament, and it's Psalm 46, and it can be found on page 570 of your pew Bibles. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our second reading is from the Old Testament. It's Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4, and can be found on page 686 of the Pew Bibles. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. And our final reading is from the New Testament. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. It can be found on page 1224 of the Pew Bible. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
We pray together. Eternal God, we thank you again for your word of truth and life to us. We pray now that by your Spirit you would speak into each of our hearts. Help us to hear what you are saying to us, and help us to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's 100 years since the end of World War I. Of course, a lot has happened in those 100 years. To signal the end of the war, bells are going to ring out across the United Kingdom at 12:30 today. We received this email from the conference office a couple of weeks ago, and let me just read it to you. Her Majesty's government, government's ambition is for bells to ring out at 12:30 on the 11th of November to commemorate the centenary of the armistice, which signaled the end of the First World War. The Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sport want bells of any sort and in any location across the country and worldwide to join in as is appropriate to mark this historic occasion, and very much hopes that the Lord Lieutenants will help to encourage engagement with this initiative. This will be a symbolic way to give thanks for the end of war 100 years ago and will replicate the national outpouring of relief that took place at the end of the war as news of the armistice filtered through and bells which had long been silent rang out. Bells ringing out at 12:30 will mark the shift in emphasis from remembrance in the morning to thanksgiving in the afternoon for the end of the war and for peace. This will coincide with the start of the people's procession as 10,000 members of the public march past the cenotaph in a nation's thank you. That was the email that we received a couple of weeks ago. So at 12:30 today, you will hopefully hear bells ring out across the city, and you will know that it is to acknowledge 100 years of the end of the Great War. So as we this morning reflect on this centenary of the end of World War I, we are thankful for the relative peace and justice we experience in our world today. I deliberately use the word relative, because there are still conflicts going on throughout the world, and we still live under the threat of terrorism in all its various forms. So whilst we're not experiencing what the world experienced during the world wars, has much changed in 100 years. A well-known phrase spoken by Sir Winston Churchill, which was spoken before that and has been coined by several people since, she said, "Those who do not learn from the past are condemned to repeat it." It's a phrase we know well. Most law-abiding citizens want peace. Peace for themselves, peace for their families, peace in their communities, peace within their nation, and peace within the world. But it's obvious that peace isn't always possible. It's frightening when you read something of the figures. Some 65 million men were mobilized across Europe during World War I. Nearly a third of them, some 21 million, were wounded. Another 8.5 million were killed, and 7.7 million were taken prisoners of war. And all of them had family and friends whose lives were changed forever by the events in 1914 to 1918. With it being the centenary of the end of World War I, there's been several programs this past week and longer recounting different aspects of the war. I don't know if you've seen any of them at all during this past week. I watched a couple of documentaries this week, and hearing the accounts of those who served in World War I, and of course it's true in every war, and this was 25 years ago, so these were people in their 90s, who, marking the 75th anniversary of the end of World War I, were recounting their experiences. What came across so poignantly was the apparent arbitrary nature of life and death. One soldier recorded on one occasion when a bullet whistled past him and hit a soldier behind him. And as he was telling his colleague about it, another bullet hit that colleague and killed him too. This was real life. I can't begin to take in the vast numbers of people who were killed in World War I. Every single person who died had a name and represents a life cut short. Every single individual who died would have had loved ones at home receiving word of the fatality and collapsing in grief. World War I, known as the Great War, was meant to be a war to end all wars. Well, that lasted all of 20 years. In the documentaries I watched, it was clear that as people went to fight in the war in 1914, they expected to be home by Christmas of that same year. Wars have a terrible way of developing in a far more horrific and longer way than anyone can ever imagine. We all want to live in peace. And there is an ethical question about taking up arms when your security is in doubt, whether personally or nationally. And it was fascinating to see and hear experiences of those who fought in World War I who volunteered like that because they believed in the rightness of this war. It's also interesting to see how history can be interpreted in different ways and at different times. One report on the BBC News this week told of how people during the 1960s, before I was born, I hasten to add, during a time of flower power, regarded General Douglas Haig as someone who simply took millions of men to their death. In another generation, General Haig is regarded as a great war hero. So for us today, we strive for peace, we pray for peace, we work for peace. No one wants to experience what the world experienced 100 years ago and in other wars since. But it's not just about peace on its own. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King once said, "True peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice." He contended that without justice, there cannot be peace. Throughout history, there have been such injustices experienced by nations, communities, individuals. 100 years ago, half the human population experienced injustice, and many would argue still do. There was something on Five Live, which I listen avidly as I journey around and visit folks, about the role of women in World War I. Whilst Emily Pankhurst and the suffragette movement was instrumental in giving women the vote, many commentators say that World War I actually had more of an impact with the role of women in society. This was because women were involved in roles during the war which would previously have thought to have been male-only roles. On 7th of July 1917, the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps, later renamed Queen Mary's Army Auxiliary Corps, became the British Army's first all-female unit. More than 57,000 women served from July 1917 to 1921, including 10,000 in France. I wasn't simply serving in the army, but so many women stayed home and helped make munitions. And of course, so many women served as nurses, even if that wasn't what they were trained in doing. Bring it forward to today. The matter of equal pay between the sexes is still a live issue. We still don't seem to have learned in society that people are people, made in the image and likeness of God, and there should not be any discrimination on the grounds of gender, age, race, sexuality, whatever. Every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. Today, within the wider church, there is still a question of women in leadership, though I'm glad to say this isn't so much of an issue within Methodism. But issues of peace and justice are those things we strive for in our society and in our world. And as Christians, we await that day when Jesus returns and there will be true peace and true justice for all people. But we live in that in-between time, don't we? We live in the tension of the world not being yet as God plans for it to be. We know only too well that there is war and conflict in our world. And sadly, often because of human nature, because of the complexity of issues, there will always be war. There's always been throughout human history, and there will continue to be until God's kingdom fully comes. Excuse me. There's a story about a minister and a soap maker who were going for a walk together, and the soap maker had some negative things to say about Christianity. "What good is the Christian faith?" he said. "Just look all around you. What do you see? Trouble, misery, wars. Even after all these years and years of preaching and teaching about goodness, truth, and peace, what good is Christianity with all its prayers and sermons if all this evil still exists?" The minister kept quiet as they continued their walk. Then they noticed a child playing in the gutter. The child was just filthy with dirt and mud. The minister said to the soap maker, "Look at this child. Now you say that soap helps to clean people. But what good is it? With all the soap in this world, this child is still dirty. What good is soap after all?" And the soap maker immediately answered him, "But your reverence, soap can't do its job if it's not used." "That's right," said the minister, "and so it is with a Christian faith. It will not accomplish anything unless people put it into practice and use it." Our purpose then, as God's people, is to pray in this time of tension, of living in the kingdom of God, but not yet in all its fullness, where there is still conflict, where there is still war. We pray within the midst of that for peace. And there is hope. Sammy reminded us with that when he spoke to the children earlier on. God promises that one day everything will be put to right. Revelation 21 and 22 paint a beautiful picture of what life will be like when God renews his creation, where there will be only love and justice and peace rather than sorrow, pain, and injustice. You could get quite downhearted, couldn't you, when you see the news each and every day, and there's such evil in the world, and there's such pain in the world, and there's such sadness in the world. But we have a hope. We have a Christian hope. And as we gather on this Remembrance Sunday, as we wait for the kingdom of God to come in all its fullness, let us acknowledge the reality of life in the present and thank God for those who serve for the security and the well-being of the public. And let us pray for their safety in the midst of their roles and responsibilities. And as we've done already, we give thanks for the supreme sacrifice that so many people have made. So what has changed in 100 years since the end of World War I? In some ways, an awful lot. Society is very, very different. But in some ways, not an awful lot. And we want to ensure that future generations don't look back on us in our generation and condemn us for not learning from the past. Let us pray together. So, Lord, as we reflect upon the tragedy of war, and as now as we reflect upon the centenary of the armistice after World War I. So we continue to pray for peace and justice. Loving God, as your people, help us to not just pray for it, but to work for it. For the sake of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Amen.